So welcome to the House of Heaven. And again, this is about hosting the heaven's glory inside of you. House of Heaven, the Ecclesia Church Online. So welcome everyone. I just want to pray. Oh, Holy Spirit, we just welcome you. We welcome you. And you just kind of like relax. And just, you know, allow the Holy Spirit to land on you right now. Whoa. We welcome you, Holy Spirit. We welcome you, Yeshua. Wow. I'm feeling so much. The glory is coming and I feel it going into people's bellies and kind of making them joyful. So just receive that right now. Receive the creative glory. Receive the new day. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. So this is, as you know, we're a church online. So I'm glad you guys come every week. And I'm hoping that in the future, you'll come here with something to share. It might be a scripture. It might be what is God saying to you? What have you been studying? What do you feel the Holy Spirit is landing on? Because this is kind of cultivating what a house church would be like, where we're all participating. And I understand there's some people that just don't want to say anything. And that's okay. It's we're all the part of the body and we wash one another's feet. We encourage each other. Maybe you have something that somebody on here needs to hear. So even tonight, I'm going to see if anybody has anything you want to share. And because we're just like coming together, almost like a fellowship, and whatever the Lord wants to say and release. So today, I was asking the Lord what he'd like to kind of talk about, and I don't prepare, but there's a couple of things that just popped into my mind. So one of them is relationship with the Lord and going through troubles, going through trials, going through difficult times. You know, I've been through an incredible amount, and I think probably everybody could say I've been through a lot in my life. Some people have gone through extreme pain. It could be physical pain, emotional pain, trauma, abuse, maybe abuse of marriages. I'm just kind of rattling this off. Maybe something what I'm saying would, you know, make you feel like, yeah, that's me. And always know that there's redemption in it. Everything is temporary. So when you go through certain things, I remember in the past, I would just breathe through it. I mean, sometimes the agony of the situation can be so intense that all you can do is just breathe through it and let the tick, 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 the time go by. And then the next day, it's like, it's a new day. And everything shifts. Everything is, the word says, his mercies are new every morning. So he shifts the atmosphere. He changes perspective. He changes circumstance. He might not completely remove a bad thing right away, but he encourages you. And one of the major things I've noticed is as we have chosen to sit with Jesus and wait on him, and I've shared this before when we had Neville Johnson in our area, he really encouraged everyone to spend at least an hour waiting on the Lord. And it's not easy. It wasn't easy for me to do that, but I continued to do it. And things started to open up, things started to change, I started having encounters with Jesus and so on. And you guys probably read about it in some of the books I've written. But in the beginning, you know, it felt like, oh, is what, you know, like, what am I doing? Is this really going to work or whatever? But I just want to encourage you to, if you haven't started, maybe if it's hours too much, just start with 30 minutes and kind of build yourself up to that and just wait on the Lord. Now, what does waiting on the Lord look like? Just being real quiet and expecting. Let's say somebody says they're going to come over your house. You might sit and wait, or somebody's going to call you. You wait for the phone call. You wait to answer the door when it rings. You know, that kind of a thing. You're waiting. Yes, you know, there's a portion of that where you can read the scriptures and you can worship, and then you you know, just sit still in the presence and just wait with expectation that he's going to come. And he will in one way or another. It might be a dream, might be a vision, might be an encounter, and it starts to cultivate. So the point I'm trying to make here is the waiting is the first part, but it's about going deeper, getting closer, learning to draw near to him. You know, how many of us have said, I really want to know you, Jesus. I really want to know you. I want to know you, the person of God, because he is a person. Thank you, Lord. And he longs to have fellowship with you. He wants you to know he's existing, not far, far away. He wants you to know that in a moment, he can step down into your room and say, hey, how's it going? You know, and you be able to handle that. So just to share a minute that when we go through trials, because it doesn't matter, you know, even if you have a really close relationship with Jesus, we all go through troubles and trials and difficulties. And the whole idea is to make us more like Christ. However, in that trial and tribulation, as the years have gone by, I've noticed I don't want to use the word perks because that sounds commercial. There's favor moments, there's things that you gain. There's things that you would have in your walk with Jesus during your trial, during even to pull you out of it, just far greater when you are drawing closer to him. If you have some track record behind you of consistency, of praying and hosting the presence, just keep, you might go to a conference or maybe on a call here, and you feel Holy Spirit, and you're like, whoa, I just feel so wonderful, praise God. And then you try to keep that momentum. You keep hosting presence. You keep praising him. You keep thinking about him. And much of the time I found would be, again, on my face. You know, it would be on the floor, on my face, going low, humbling yourself. There's an anointing. If you sit, that's fine. If you lay down on the bed and pray, that's fine. But there's something more when you get on your face and you put a carpet down or something, and just get on your face before the Lord, is, you know, if you physically can do that, because you're humbling yourself and you're positioning your heart to receive. And there's something to that. It would be when I would be at a church and it was on my face. I mean, okay. When you make a decision, I'm going to go all the way with you, Jesus. I'm going to take you seriously. I'm going to go all the way. I don't want anything to stop me, right? He might be asking you to do things that nobody else is doing. And it's to, number one, I've noticed, to prove my faithfulness, to prove my I'm going to be obedient. And also there's a grace or anointing falling on me because I do what he tells me to do in spite of everybody else. So, and I'm not telling you to do anything that I'm going to share. this is because I've walked into churches and an angel, a huge angel, would meet me, welcome, take off your shoes. And I'd be the only one that would be taking off their shoes. And now you might see it in worship, like people will not have shoes when they're on the stage worshiping, because they get it. It's kind of like God tells them to do it. It's holy ground. And so it'd be taking off my shoes. It would be getting on the floor, you know, in between the chairs. It would be, which is mostly, that would be mostly it, just being on the floor. Everybody else isn't, and that's okay. But I'm like, okay, Lord, he did stuff. And it's like taking the sword and sharpening that sword as a result of my doing that, and bringing my heart down. Actually, it spiritually brought it up, where I would become more sensitive. So when you go through trials and tribulations, again, what I was saying is, as you draw near to Christ and you obey him, the prompting, sometimes I'd be like, I don't know if this is you, Lord. It's him. He would continue. He would say, he would tell me again or again. And so that's, you know, that was one way I knew it was him. Besides that, when what I was saying is about going through the trials and tribulations, there seems to be extra graces, is an old Catholic term. You know, the nuns would say, you know, God has given me this grace or graces of the extra blessing. So where angels, like, if let's say I'm in a really bad state of mind and I might be in church or something, and the angels are all around, I could see them, they're encouraging me, they're pushing me up, they're drawing, you know, there's just stuff that happens. Jesus, there's times I've been at a really low place and Jesus would come right away to visit me and spend about 35 minutes or 45 minutes with me, just talking to me, because he cares. Just being lifted out of a bad thing quickly, changing situations, just allowing him to do what he needs to do. So basically, you know, I just want to encourage you, as you draw near to the Lord, there's extra favor. He's given me incredible dreams that I can't share with anybody, because if I shared it with them, they'd be like, why would God say that to you? You know, that kind of thing. But I've also heard, you know, God share it with other people, like close family members, you know. I'll give you an example, which I am not the only one that have said this, but this is just one example so you get an idea. You know, the Lord said to me one time that he said, and this is not to bring you guys fear, but I'm saying, okay, now you can pick this up and say, well, then God could tell me this. He said, my hand is against anyone who hurts you. That's what he said. But I was like, wow. And then I heard another minister say the same thing that the Lord said to them. The Lord said to them the same thing. So that is the favor of God, that he puts his hand over your life as you draw near. Now, are you going to hear that when you're a secular Christian? I don't think so. If you are just one foot in the world, one foot out, you're kind of coasting along, you're going to church on Sunday, you think about God, maybe you'll read the Bible once or twice a week. Even if you did hear that, you wouldn't believe it, because the intimacy is not there. So I just want to set you guys on fire to encourage you to continue to keep knocking and pressing in. And I know some people say, well, you don't have to press in, but there is a pressing in through breakthrough. Like, you know, like I've said before, some of you know, where the angel of the Lord put a dagger on the kitchen table and said, fight for what you want, you know, knock and the door will be opened. The violent take the kingdom of God by force. There's a time for that. There's times for people, which I feel like some of you've already experienced. Maybe you have a group of prayer people and you all pray for this about my family, and they're like really hitting it, you know, they're warriors, they're speaking in tongues, they're decreeing, they're declaring. I mean, that is the violence, that is taking something by force, that is not taking no for an answer. And so I just pour out the presence on you by faith in Jesus' name to open up the possibility of deeper communion relationship with God Almighty, who is your Father. Jesus is your brother, he's your friend. And you have to remember how the scripture says that how he sticks closer to you than a brother. Wow. So I'm just going to stop there for a minute. And I just want to share a couple of things, because I feel like it's for some of you on here. Some of you are writing, like, because we talk a lot about journaling, and you feel Holy Spirit on it in your journaling, but you have a question, is this you, God? Is this you, God? And I just want to confirm that it is him. I feel like somebody on here is practicing the presence of God, which is, I think part of that is the spontaneous journaling. And I just want to encourage you there. And some of you are called into that. Some of you are called into the journaling, just releasing whatever comes to your mind. And you can ask God questions. You can pray on your journal, but then wait on the Lord and say, God, what do you have to say? And just start to write whatever comes to your mind, and it'll line up with the word. The Lord wants to start to, I see how he's, just by this call, I see him bringing you closer to the Lord. The goal here is to see God every single day, like face to face. The goal here is to communion with him throughout the day, to not have a day go by without seeing Jesus, without seeing angels, without having something, because you cultivate that relationship. Once you break through that, it's easy. You stay in that glory place until you're like, okay, I'm ready for more. And then you press in, and that breakthrough happens for the next phase. And so I just want to encourage you there, because there's amazing things happening. I see where some of you are going to meet some of the cloud of witnesses, and I don't know why, this is just what I'm saying, that have to do with World War I. There's people that passed during World War I, and God wants to bring you into connection with some of these people for a purpose, for a reason. Maybe you had a family member and your bloodline that was in that generation, and so he's going to connect you. I like Tony, and you know, I'm just throwing this out there, I feel like you're waiting for confirmation, and I just feel like this is your confirmation, Tony. So I don't know, I feel like as you're saying, well, that's really cool, I'm gonna, you know, wait for the Lord to confirm that. And I feel like he's confirming that. So right now I see a picture of goldfish in the water, in the river. And so we're going to live in the spirit 24/7, amen. And sometimes, like earlier today, I just felt his presence. And then a little bit later, yeah, I didn't feel it. I'm like, Lord, I don't feel your presence. I need your presence back. And so anyway, so I decree over you spontaneous writing in the glory. And some of you, I hear lawyers to defend the cases that you have in the spirit. He wants to bring you deeper into the courts, into understanding how that works. But I feel like you're going to be a you're going to defend people and your families. So yeah, thank you, God. So Lord, also if there's anybody who needs healing, we just decree that right now, healing. In the heavy weighty glory of the presence of God Almighty, we just love you. We want to worship you. We want to turn our heart and mind toward you. And I'm seeing the Lord and at a table with the disciples, and he's saying, you guys are his family. This is his family. So how many of you, if you have family that you get along with, which I know can be rare, but how many of you have family and you would just turn to your family, you would talk to your family? It's not a big deal, it's family. So this is the type of emotion, feelings and thoughts that the Lord wants to impart to you, that heaven is your family. There's no fear in love. There is a reverence and awe that we have a king in our family. A respect and honor, of course. Who would like to share? And remember, I really would like to hear something back. Who would like to share about maybe what happened on the call, or what's triggering something, or what you feel God is speaking today for you, or maybe the time we're in? And I know you guys always have to call on you. Yeah, John, yay, you always volunteer, yeah.
Yep. You mentioned about waiting on God, and there's a beautiful scripture in Habakkuk. It's in chapter 2. And there's four things going on in this two verses here. Starting with verse 1, it says, I will stand at my watch, and I will set myself on a rampart and watch and see what he will say to me and what I will answer when I am corrected. Write the vision and make it plain on the tablets. And so looking at that, I will stand at my watch, that's waiting. And then we go down just a little bit, it says, and I will watch and see what he will say to me. So now I'm waiting on God, and I got my ears tuned and I got my eyes tuned in the spirit realm. And then we go a little further and it says, once you see what the Lord is saying or speaking to you, then you write it down. There's your journaling. And so there's four different things in these two verses. And I says, that's pretty powerful for just two verses.
Yes. I mean, I know what you mean. Like one word or one scripture can have so much meat on it.
Right.
I love that.
Yep. So that's what I wanted to share.
Well, thanks for sharing that, John. As you were sharing that, what came to my mind is get ready for more. Get ready, like break your boxes. Maybe it's not just journaling, like, okay, how can I say this? Prepare yourself to receive more than that, whether it's being suddenly trans-relocated or just prepare, right. You know, just break that box of whatever, you know, if you have your heart on it, the Lord, God's going to honor that, if you will. It shows that you're being prepared for it.
Amen.
So, amen. Anybody else? Margo?
Well, Paula, what you just said just now, that really, really hit the mark, because initially I was tapped regarding huge spontaneous journaling. I used to do that hugely, of different kinds in different places separately. And it was so rich, and the presence was so strong. And I was very abandoned to it, but I let it go, not, I don't know, some time back. it was very by the spirit, but I let it go. Somehow it drifted off, like it came to an end. And when you spoke early, I thought, well, maybe it didn't come to an end. Maybe it should. But now I get it. You said, what did you say just now? About breaking boxes. It's not just about journaling, but prepare yourself to receive even more. That's exactly right. And I know exactly what it is. And I will step into that. I'll be as diligent about it as I was about all the years of journaling. So I bless you and I thank you.
Oh, that's awesome, Margot. You know, I was just thinking about, like, when you were talking, the journaling, it was like I saw somebody writing and then they're transported. I think that happened to Bobby Connor or something. Or maybe, you know, there's many pastors, people have said they went into their prayer, into their office, they were preparing a sermon and they put their head down and bam, they're somewhere else. I was talking about, again, I don't want to say perks, but maybe the favor. Or it's like a trade, there's increase. Okay, the scriptures talk a lot about, if you do this, I'll do that. If you do this, I'll do that. So they call it a trade. So some people can say, if I, you know, a fast can be a trade. I fast and then God rewards that. Like in my early years, when my kids were a little and everything, I would do the fasting and I didn't ask for anything. I just fasted. It wasn't for weight or it wasn't for health. It was for God. So that's important because it's got to be geared toward that. God reads our heart. And so I was doing a lot of that. And then he started giving me dreams every night, and doubling those dreams, two or three dreams. And so having said that, one of the favors I've noticed as well is, you know, and I've told you guys, I see the angels a lot, but in moments like this, you know, there was an angel here. He's handing me something. He's reminding me of a story. And I see him and he tells me. The other thing is, when I was talking earlier before on the call about meeting with this pastor of this church I was going to, you know, we're dialoguing and it's a little bit on the edge because I don't know where they stand because they're new pastors in the church. And so I'm seeing a flash of light here, then I'm seeing an angel over there, you know, and so I'm seeing the angels around us while we're dialoguing, and that's encouraging me. I feel them, you know, and so that's another thing. I want to give you a it's like fishing. I want to throw something out there so that you can grab a hold of the fact that there's more. It's not for nothing. But the angel was just reminding me of a man that I knew, and we used to do prophetic groups where we would have worship for a couple of hours at this one ministry. And then afterward, we'd call people up if they wanted a prophetic word, and we would prophesy, and they would stand in line, they record it. And I gave this one guy a word who I knew. He was going to this IHOP in our area faithfully. Like every time it was open, he was constantly, he was there, every time it was open. And so I saw the Lord say to him that because you were doing that and all the right, he would write, I would see this in the spirit. He'd write everything down. He would journal everything, his hopes, his dreams, his dialogue with God. The word was for him that every single thing that you wrote down, that you asked the Lord for, that you desired in your heart, he was gonna give you everything because you were faithful. You kept going to this IHOP thing. And it was just such a reward. Like nothing is hit missed, nothing's missed. Any kind of sacrifice, anything that you do, you know, I went to a prayer thing and I wasn't, my attitude wasn't very good. And I'm saying, Lord, help my attitude change. And then he gave the net that night, he gave me this most beautiful dream. I feel like it was for, you know, you sacrificed, you went, you were very, very tired. You really didn't want to go. And so I'm going to bless you. And so yeah. So anyway, all that came out of what you're talking about, Margo. Anybody else? I'd love to hear it. Carmen?
Yeah, because it's kind of amazing you're talking about this, because I just put last night I had this dream, and in this dream I was sitting at this large desk and I had a book in front of me, and I knew immediately that I was supposed to write. And I was thinking, I didn't say this, but I was thinking that how am I going to be able to write something that people will read, because I don't write that well. And of course he knew what I was thinking, I didn't have to say it. And he said, what makes you think people are going to read this book? He's like, this writing is for you to do a journal. So I legit just did my first journal entry this morning after having that. So when you started talking about it, I was like, wow, we talk about timing. But yeah, it's funny because I was like, I can't write. I mean, I was thinking to myself, I didn't say that, but he knew exactly what I was thinking. He's like, well, you know, no one's going to be reading your book. This is for you. I was like, oh, okay.
So, Carmen, I think you're being set up, because I think you will.
Oh.
You know, I'm not a writer either, but I wrote books. I mean, it's like, it's in you. So it just comes out. So how did you like your journaling?
I liked it. I mean, I thought, well, I'm going to struggle here to write, but you know, it came pretty easy. And you know, I had a whole page by the time I was done. And because I was thinking in my head, like, well, I should be speaking, because that's what I like to do and so on. And I was thinking, well, how am I going to write? And he's like, you're going to write the same way you speak, through me, not on your own ability. And like, I was like, oh, wow. I mean, it was so clear what he was saying. So there's no way I was not going to get up this morning and write in my journal, like my very first entry.
And you know that it's not always necessarily what he's saying, but the fact that he's talking to you, and the fact that he's talking to you very clearly is very encouraging, isn't it?
Yes, it's awesome. It really is awesome. I was like, thank you, Lord, for... Yes. Awesome.
And do you have many dreams from the Lord, or is this a starting?
Just random. I don't have a lot. No, but this one last night was very clear. It's because I don't have very many dreams. That's what was even, you know, kind of more surprising, that it was pretty clear and pretty intense.
So, you know, when we're in our ascending, or now, whenever you can come to that, I just feel like you should ask questions. You know, you can ask, there's so many questions God will answer when we're on our ascending, when we ascend into heaven.
Yeah.
Those, I mean, I can ask him anything, it'll answer the question. But I was just kind of looking into your journaling, and it's like a road, it's like a map, it's like a road map, it's going somewhere. So, because I think you were thinking about, what is this going to look like in 10 years, you know?
I actually wrote that in my journal. I can't believe you said that. I was like, I have no idea where this is going. I wrote that in my journal. I was like, wow.
It's that spirit of knowledge. You just know.
Wow.
Oh, that is cool. I love that. Hallelujah.
That's funny.
It is. Tony?
Hey, Paula. Yeah, so when you said confirmation, you know, I was thinking about some of the things God's been doing with me, and he's surrounding me with some new people that is connected to destiny stuff. And I felt like the Lord was confirming that to me. And then also the thing about the journaling, I felt like that's something critical for me too, even though I'm not a journal person, but I feel like the Lord's kind of prompting me to begin to do that.
When I was going through a lot of I don't know how many years ago now, 20 years ago, there was a lot of stress in the family, and because of the situation, I really couldn't, you know, there's times in your life you just can't share your stuff, you know, for whatever reason. So the Lord said to me, I want you to journal. And it made me feel so much better. I just like released it on paper. And so I encourage people to do that too. There's a time for that. But I'm glad you got your confirmation. Yay.
Thank you, Lord. Yay. Thank you, Paula.
Yeah, and the Lord, like, there's times it's hard for me to write down my, sometimes I can do it, you know, write down my dreams, but other times he's saying, well, just record it. So we have a recorder on the phone that you could just record some of your stuff, if that's what God wants you to do too, and you can write it out later.
Yes, so, very cool. Thank you.
Yeah, amen. Lacey, do you have something you could share?
Hi, Paula. No, I do not.
Okay. Doris?
Hey, Paula. Hey, everybody. Definitely, I feel encouraged to journal my dreams, because I dream every night. I dream different dreams. I dream many dreams. And for example, when you gave me a prophecy about Gwen Shaw, I had dreamt about it like 5 years ago, and I wrote it in an old journal. So after you spoke to me, I've forgotten about the dream. Then the Lord reminded me that he had already given that to me. So I went back to my old journal, and then I saw the name in my journals. I was, oh my God. So yeah, definitely I got to work more on journaling my dreams. Thank you, Paula.
Yeah, I know you have a little one. So again, even just recording it, one thing about dreams is often if you have the dream, you can think about it and you have an impression what it might be. But sometimes if you write it down and just read it the next day, you know, that will help you understand it as well, or re-listen to it. Because sometimes we misunderstand our dreams and we can't get a quite clear picture until we write it down. Shantae, do you have anything you'd like to share?
Not really. Like I said last week, I'm still like new to everything. I know we talked about making Jesus your first love. So I kind of worked on that this past week. It wasn't consistent, but every time I remembered, I was like, okay, think about Jesus, you know, making him my first love. I do try to journal when I get something. I don't remember my dreams all the time. Like the last dream I recorded was October 19th. So I'm still just trying to just build that intimacy in that relationship.
I can feel the gifting in your life, and I feel like you've been anointed, you've been prophesied over, even like for your future. I don't know if your parents or your family was involved in that prophetic thing, or you were dedicated or something to that effect, but I feel it, and it's a creative thing. It's very creative, and it's prophetic, and it's kind of like, it makes me think of writing out a prophetic movie or something, or writing out a prophetic a book. It'll look like a story, but it's actually prophecy. That's a deep thing that God's imparted into you, and it's a beautiful thing, but it's also God's way of speaking to whoever. It's amazing. I was going to share that Shante, there's a couple of people that I will listen to or read that will help. And now, you know, not every day you're going to be, oh, I feel like I want to go into the intimacy part of Jesus. I mean, it might be, you know, it might be every other day, it might be once a week, it might be whatever you feel, whenever you feel inspired, as far as that goes. But there's a few people that I go to that will stir that up. And Brian Guerin, I don't know if I'm saying that right, but he has Ascend Church on YouTube. He's very deep on the intimacy. Eric Gilmore is another, and then the image, Jesus image, with what's his name? I can't think of his name right now, but it's Jesus image. So that pastor who is married to Benny
Michael Hins. Julianos, something like
yes,
that.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
He's married to Benny Hinn's daughter. So mm-hmm. those are the three things. And then they have Eric has some books.
What you was know, about
Eric Gilmore. So they have Eric has little videos, they're short. And Brian has Sunday service. And I really like Brian because he's really going after the remnant, the narrow gate, the middle of the middle, the sharp point, laser point of the remnant, you know, the deep place. And he's hungry for that. And that's where I'm at. I just love that. So hopefully that would encourage you as well. Some of you are called to poetry. I don't know. I feel like Lacey and Shante, you guys have a poetry thing going on. So just start to write poetry, even if you think you can't. So anyway, things are just coming to me. So I'm going to just share them. So Tony, you're going to be led to be a spiritual doctor. So you'll... I see with a white coat in the stethoscope. And so you'll see into bodies, I believe. I'm not quite sure if it's physical, emotional, spiritual, what's going on, but there's going to be a physical, a spiritual doctor, I call it. God's giving you that.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Paula.
Amen. Okay, so we're way past time. I thank you for joining, and we're just going to close it with prayer. So, Father, I thank you for their gifts and the calling that is not revocable. But in those gifts and callings, Father, we ask for the fruit of the Spirit to manifest, that it's all wrapped in relationship. It's wrapped in intimacy of the Holy Spirit. We welcome Holy Spirit to cultivate each one of our hearts into intimacy and oneness and closeness with the person of God himself, which you are. And out of that, we will produce the fruit of the Spirit, which needs to be totally evident along with the gifts. So we thank you for that, God, in Jesus' name. I just see tabernacling. Hallelujah. Amen.